The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you live from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Donna Young, co-owner of Isabel Bloom Sculpture, handcrafted sculpture, I might add, in Davenport, Iowa. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. This week in the news has a very special announcement and anniversary, and thank you. This happens to be the 6-month anniversary of Your Holistic Health, and I'd like to first and foremost give all the glory to God for this opportunity, and a special thank you to our producers and technical engineer, all of the above, Bill Nance, Melody, and Bob Morris. Without all of you, I could never have done this. And also my thanks to all of our listeners, because without all of you, we wouldn't have a reason to be. Wonderful listeners, Bill and Bob and Melody, and dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity, and I hope for another 6 months and beyond. Please do stay tuned. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Donna Young is a graduate of St. Ambrose University in Davenport, Iowa, with a bachelor's degree in fine art and art education. She's worked for Isabel Bloom since 1981, and she became the sculptor for the company. In 1996, Donna was commissioned to design a life-sized bronze sculpture for Trinity Hospital in Moline, Illinois, and that sculpture is called A Healing Touch. How appropriate. Today, she continues to design roughly 25 new sculptures each year for Isabel Bloom. In 2011, along with two other longtime employees from the company, Donna Young became the co-owner of Isabel Bloom Handcrafted Sculpture. Welcome, Donna, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you, Kathy. Thanks for having me, Dr. Kathy.
Yes. Well, I'm fascinated by Isabel, and I grew up in your neck of the woods. And as a young girl, it turns out that Isabel fashioned animals from clay that were dug from the banks of the Mississippi River and baked in the family hearth. What a cute beginning. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little more about that history and your company.
Well, other than Isabel's very first year of life, she spent her entire life in Davenport, Iowa, minus a couple little trips for studying art in Chicago at the Chicago Art Institute and then Stone City, Iowa. Other than that, she really made her home in Davenport, Iowa, and she's a bit of an icon in the area, as you probably well know. But she's always, as a very young child, she knew that she was an artist and that is what she wanted to pursue. And her family was very supportive of this. In fact, her father was the one who helped her build her studio. He built her shelves. He helped her get her cement mixer. And he really encouraged her to do exactly what she wanted to do. And she did not follow a typical course for young women back in the 1930s at all, and it wasn't like she was trying to be different. She was just being herself, and Stone City was calling her name, and she went to Stone City and studied under Grant Wood, who became a very famous artist that pretty much anyone, if you mention American Gothic, they know exactly who Grant Wood was. And so that was kind of her claim to fame. And at Stone City, Iowa, during these two very formative summers where she would sculpt, you know, under his watchful eye, that is where she met her soon-to-be husband, John Bloom, also a mural painter and very talented artist. So the two of them, you know, made their home in Davenport, Iowa, and they had a very, very long creative life. Isabel lived until she was 93, and John lived till he was 94. Isabel died on May 1st, 2001, and she began this company that I am now so fortunate and blessed to be one of the co-owners of. She founded this company back in the 1950s, and we produce concrete sculpture for the home and garden, and based on a method that Isabel pretty much developed through a lot of trial and error herself back in the 40s and 50s.
Now, because I own several of your pieces, I know that when you say concrete, it's much more eloquent and more elegant than what the visual must be giving our listeners. So let's work on that a bit.
Okay. Well, you know, let me just tell you that the neat thing about the material is it really does kind of describe the people John and Isabel Bloom were. They were very, you know, growing up during the Depression, they were savers, and they, you know, they reused and recycled and reclaimed things because they needed to. I mean, today it's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a catch. It's kind of, you know, something people say, but and a lot of people do. But back then, I mean, they were the original recyclers, I think, of their era. And concrete, Isabel's first sculptures were in stone. She would carve in limestone. And then she also did a lot of ceramics, where she would sculpt things in clay and then fire them in a kiln. And this would create a one-of-a-kind piece. And she kind of saw concrete, which was very new in the 1930s. I mean, everything used to be buildings and things like that were made out of limestone. And then, you know, when cement was invented, and I'm not sure what year that was invented, but when it was invented, it was only used as a building material. I mean, there was nothing fancy about it. It was just poured into forms to, you know, to pour flat, smooth, straight surfaces. It was not used as an art form by anybody. There were no garden gnomes or things like that. And so Isabel saw this as a very inexpensive, readily available local material that she could use as an art form. And her very first concrete sculptures, she used concrete as clay. She mixed it in a bowl with you know, cement, and it was cement and sand and water. That is what concrete is. Concrete is the mixture, the cement mixture. Once it's mixed, it's called concrete. And she would add lightweight material to it, like vermiculite, which is something that you use to put in potting soil to lighten the weight. She would use this. And the nice thing about vermiculite is not only did it make it lighter, but it made it softer. And then as it was hardening, she could carve and you know, sculpt into the cement. And the other thing she did was she would tear up sheets and old T-shirts and things like that into strips of cloth, and she would dip the cloth in this concrete mixture, and then she would wrap it around an armature that she also made herself. Maybe it's a armature and it's going to be a sitting figure or whatever. So you would see like a stick figure made of wire or different metal rods. And then she would cover these with this cement mixture and these cloths. So she would build her sculpture from the inside out. And when she was done, she would have a one-of-a-kind sculpture that happened to be made of concrete. And she later would do a lot of commissioned pieces. So there are pieces in the Quad Cities. Our library has a piece, a hospital has one of her pieces, a high school has one of her pieces, and we call it direct concrete because there's no mold. She did not cast concrete into a mold. She built the sculpture from the inside out using direct concrete, and it's a one of a kind. You know, so concrete really, you know, can be a beautiful art form.
Well, it's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. And there's a softness. I want to share with our listeners, the pieces that I have are very soft. And Isabel must have had a particular eye for nature, for young children, for the simpler part of life, a joyous part, certainly, but there's a gentleness in the pieces that I think sort of reverberates through your entire collection. It doesn't matter what you're looking at, but the colors and the round edges and the reproducibility of some of these characters, life faces, shows an innocence. And so please, listeners, think about, the incredible versatility of this medium, which is only one of many which can be employed for different types of sculpture. We're only talking about just one this evening.
Exactly.
What's the purpose of sculpture, Donna?
Well, as I guess any other art form, I really feel for our customers, they purchase sculpture. Sculpture helps them, just like I say, whether it be a two-dimensional art or three-dimensional art like sculpture, it helps them communicate to another person. It either helps them say, I love you, I'm thinking of you, or maybe it reminds them of something, or maybe they're trying to memorialize some event or some person saying, this reminds me of when we used to do this or whatever. And so people who own Isabel Bloom Sculptures, they can tell you who gave them every single piece and when they gave it and why. And so it's that piece can bring you back to your childhood or to your children's childhood or to, to a special event, a birth, it can be a happy occasion, it can be a sad occasion, but the meaning that is in the sculpture, I feel like as an artist, I put my own meaning into a sculpture, but I don't expect that the person who ends up owning that sculpture is going to feel the very same way that I feel about it. They're going to put their own emotions into the sculpture.
Do you feel like your pieces are, if you will, like your little children, which are all over the world now, and you have no idea where they've gone? They've left the nest. Mm-hmm. You've given them, a little pat on the backside and, TLC and a little nudge, and a part of you is out there.
Yeah,
somehow
it's pretty amazing to think about that. And I don't think about that every day. But when I get an email, or I see we've got a lot of Facebook fans. When I see somebody posting something on Facebook saying how much Isabel Bloom means to them, or how much a certain sculpture means to them, or something, it's so neat to see that, because maybe I'm having a hard day, or maybe for whatever reason, not feeling as positive as I'd like. And then you read something like that, and it just reminds you why you do this. And it's like, wow, I am so lucky or, so fortunate that I get to do that, that I get to be part of somebody else's healing or somebody else's happiness or somebody else's memory, Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Now, exactly what do you call your sculpting technique? I'm going to need some education on this myself.
Okay, well, I call it modeling, and that's what Isabel called it too, because we model with clay, and there are wood carvers who carve, there are sculptors who chisel into stone. I use clay; it's a very soft, malleable material, and even though my clay sometimes I use a subtractive method where I build up a form and then I'm actually doing a lot more cutting and carving than I am adding. But usually I'm adding pieces, and I usually, my hands are my most important tool, I think. I do almost everything with my hands. And then when I switch to a tool, maybe it'd be kind of a tool with kind of a rake on the end of it, or maybe it's pointed, or maybe it's rounded, and it's just got a shape that my fingers can't form, or it can get into little places that my fingers can't get into, or maybe I want just a straight block of wood to just really, smooth things over. So I've got a lot of tools too, but I pretty much would say that 90% of the time I am modeling.
All right, excellent. I can just see you at your workbench, and I hope to see you in person someday at that workbench.
I would love to have you come.
Hoped to do that over the summer when I was back home, but didn't quite work out. We're going to get ready for a break, but before that, here's a little scripture to enlighten and to encourage us all from Isaiah 64:8 that I think is very appropriate tonight. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. If you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. Tonight we're talking with Donna Young of Isabel Bloom Handcrafted Sculptures in Davenport, Iowa. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a live broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we're talking with Donna Young of Isabel Bloom Handcrafted Sculpture. So, Isabel, I'm very curious. I think that artists have a unique eye, a unique thought pattern, a creative energy that's just off the charts. And in some ways is a way that it's a communication tool that we non-artists may not know about or be able to express to the same degree as you. And I wonder if that helps you, that communication tool, whatever medium one might choose, sculpture being one, you know, venue, I guess. Does that help you express your emotions?
Well, I definitely think it does. I definitely think for me it's easier to communicate with my art, with my sculpting, than putting things into words. You are expressing yourself, you know, whatever the, like you say, whatever the medium is that that you're using. But I definitely I'm a very emotional person, but I'm not always good at explaining how I'm feeling, you know, but I feel best when I'm sculpting, you know, and it's my therapy, actually. If, you know, I would rather spend 8 hours, you know, in my sculpting studio than at my desk or, you know, just about anywhere else. It's just the time just flies. Before you know it, you know, you've been doing something like that for many, many hours, and it's definitely my therapy.
So I would have guessed that creativity and emotional healing go hand in hand. And in fact, I'm thinking that for listeners who have never thought about art as an intervention, I'll put it that way, to help heal in a way that's very unique, maybe something that is a goal stretcher, getting out of your comfort zone. I'm not saying that everybody can be a Donna Young. I certainly could not. But I appreciate the fact that focusing on something very positive that is a blessing to not only self but others and a gift. For after all, it's just part of the same earth that our good Lord created. And we're just recreating. And I'd like to think that he's the co-creator alongside of you as you make these wonderful pieces for all of us to enjoy for so many years.
You know, you are exactly right. And just to even, you know, talk about that a little bit more, I feel like you can't sculpt or create your art in a bubble or in a closed. Isabel once said, and I love this quote, and it's so simple, and we have it on the wall inside our store down in the East Village. It says, when you're interested in art, you're interested in everything. And she was interested in everything, and I feel that way too. And I guess what I What I think that means is you do see things differently, or you pay attention to things more, and you see things, you see the form. And if I have on my assignment, I need to sculpt, a lot of times I sculpt just what I feel like sculpting, but a lot of times I sculpt things that we need in the line. You know, there's a business reason for it. And so maybe I don't really know that, you know, if it's a raccoon or it's, you know, maybe I don't really know that animal that well. But by the time I get my sculpture done, I have learned a lot about a raccoon or about a certain kind of a bird or a certain fish. I've learned a lot about it because I've studied the form and I've downloaded a lot of pictures. And as you look at it, you just get this appreciation for this creation that, you know, it's like God can make all this beauty. And if art is beautiful, it's because it's a reflection of the creator, as you know, of what has already been created. And being an artist allows me to continually get to explore creation, you know. And that's why I say, if I just stayed in the studio, you know, and didn't look out my window and didn't look at anything, my sculptures would stink. So when I need to see, you know, an elbow, or I need to see an ear, or I need to see, you know, a child of a certain age, I need to go out and look at the real thing. And you, there's no way that any artist can make anything look better than the real thing, but it's our interpretation of the real thing, you know. So, yeah. It's
I love it. Well, you know, I'm thinking about Isabel again. In so many ways, she was a woman ahead of her time. And you, following in her path, both as a friend and as a colleague, and now certainly in her place as one of the co-heads of the company, are inspirational in what you're sharing. I think that life has come to you, and you take a snapshot of that, and you bring us to a place that is, it certainly invokes multiple senses, visual being only one, but you bring nature to us. I'm hearing you say that you, it's important to you to be authentic. It's important to bring us, I guess, into your world and into Isabel's, and to carry on a legacy that must have been big shoes, to be real honest.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But what a neat lady she must have been.
She was a neat lady, and just a little short story, just to help explain Isabel. I remember one day sitting on Isabel's front porch with her. I used to go visit her, and her front porch overlooked the river. I mean, there's a park, and then there's the river, and she's up on a hill. So she and John used to just love to, and this is in there. I mean, they're in their 80s when I met Isabel, she was 76. So I only got to know her for the last almost 20 years of her life. I didn't know her for the first, you know, 75. But anyway, as I was sitting there with Isabel on the porch on this sunny day, a grasshopper jumped up and landed on her hand. And most people would have flicked it away, but she held her hand real still, and she just studied that grasshopper, and she just was commenting about what a beautiful creature a grasshopper was. And when Isabel was in her 80s, she wasn't sculpting anymore, but she kept talking about her next sculpture. And she said, you know, I've always thought of sculpting a grasshopper. I think that's going to be my next sculpture.
Oh,
and yeah,
that's great. The colors of your work are just, I think, very unique, and you know, obviously stand out for those of us who have an understanding of the line and have the privilege of owning some of the pieces. Tell us a little bit about those colors, and again, the softness, the aspect of that.
Yeah. Well, again, that is that these colors were developed by Isabel, and she really admired the weathered bronze sculpture of the Victorian era. So she tried to reproduce that with her concrete sculptures, and so through a lot of trial and error, the method is that the pieces are cast in like a reddish, earthy brown color, which is red dye that we add to the gray cement mixture. So we get this earthy red undertone, and then over the top of that, our finishers, we brush a green, which is also it's a white cement with a mixture of green and blue dye in it. So we have this green cement mixture that we kind of paint on. We use it. It's wet on wet, almost like a watercolor. So you've soaked your sculpture in water, and you've got this wet sculpture, and now you're applying this wet green cement. And then with your gloved hands, we take and we wipe a lot of the green off, and that's kind of bringing out the highlights, like if a piece was out in the sun. Where the sun would shine is where we're going to wipe the green off, and then we kind of blend it with a brush. And then that piece sits overnight, and then the next day, just a white cement is added, and it's kind of pushed into the grooves of the piece, like the cracks between the fingers or the eyelids or the, you know, the line between the mouth, and it brings out all the detail. And so you've got this piece that looks like it's oxidized. The green is kind of the oxidation, and the brown is the metal showing through, and then the white kind of shows the detail. But I'm using these colors, but like you say, they're very soft, very almost pastel-y, soft mm-hmm. colors. And it just makes for a very beautiful piece with a very nice patina.
I've never seen anything like it, and in fact gave one of my dearest friends one of your angels for Christmas, and she just absolutely loves it. So a part of you is in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Well, good.
We're closing in on the last moments of our show, Donna. Tell us, where can our listeners go for more information about Isabel Bloom figures?
Well, the quickest answer to that would be at www.ibloom.com. That is our website, and on our website you can find the listing of our stores. We have three stores in the Quad Cities, and then we have one in Des Moines, Iowa. Then we also have a lot of gift shops that carry our things. And so when you go to the website, you can click on that information also and find a list of all the retailers who carry Isabel Bloom. And then there's an 800 number you can call if you have any questions. You can go to contact us. You can email us with any questions, and we respond usually the same day. On the weekend, it would probably be Monday that we would respond to a question, but we'll answer all your questions. So I would say ibloom.com is the best place to find us.
Awesome. Just one more quick question. Do you do custom pieces and any special pieces coming out for the holidays?
Well, we have, for the holidays, I always do a Santa and an angel and an ornament and usually a snowman. So I have a new one of all of those out for the season. And our angel is, she's holding a wreath. It's a very pretty angel. And then I also did a child making a snow angel. That's kind of a fun piece, like, you know, how we all used to lay down and make our snow angels. So that's a...
I still do.
Yeah, there you go. I can't wait for that first snow. We're going to have to go make our little mark. and then as far as custom pieces, I do, you know, roughly somewhere between 20 and 30 new pieces a year. And a few of those are pieces that I specifically design for a couple of different nonprofits. And every now and then we'll add a new nonprofit for a year and design something. Like our local Race for the Cure, we've been designing a special piece for them every year. It's a piece that they can sell and generate funds for their cause, and also we'll sell it in our store and donate a portion of the proceeds. So, but to do just like one custom piece is not really something that I have time to do right now.
Well, you never know. Maybe in the future.
In the future, I think someday.
All right, dear, we're out of time. Thank you so much, and may you be blessed in your incredible talents and gifts to the world, Donna. Thank you so much for being with us. Donna
Thank
Young from
you.
Isabel Bloom. I'm going to close with the quote of the week, and this will make you laugh. Guaranteed, it's from Douglas Adams. I love deadlines. I love the whooshing sound they make as they fly by. Thanks again to our guest, Donna Young from Isabel Bloom, for being with us tonight on Your Holistic Health. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Please tune in again next week at the same time to hear Terry and Joe Gradon talk about their book entitled Recipes and Remedies from the People's Pharmacy on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. Happy anniversary, blessings, and happy holidays. You're loved. Good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m. on Faith and Friends Radio for your holistic health.